Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
This week on The Bachelor. It's hometown week on The Bachelor, sort of, as families come to meet Matt. Then, Michelle scores points with Matt while Rachel fails to stick the landing. Plus, Serena sends Matt packing on his own show. Will he ever recover? All that and more. It's the most dramatic episode ever. This is The Bachelor.
Hello and welcome to The Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City.
I'm Pat Gary Bradshaw.
And I'm Jared Freed.
And we are back for our hometowns episode today. But first, make sure you guys are following us on Instagram at The Bachelor and on Twitter at Bachelor Pod. We're giving you live tweeting and memes and everything all week, keeping you guys in the loop on what's going on in Bachelor Nation. We also have our Bachelor Breakdown, which is our newsletter, which gets into even more detail. We feature a lot of your guys' stuff, memes and everything. So make sure you subscribe to that at betches.co/Bachelor Breakdown. Okay, so Matt made a post yesterday. We finally heard from Matt. What do you guys think? Did you see it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Okay, so Matt made a post yesterday, basically, you know, talking about Chris Harrison and Rachel Kirkconnell's whole debacle the past couple of weeks. And you know, this, I feel like, is a different side of Matt that we haven't really seen. He hasn't really talked about a lot of this. And, you know, he finally made his statement talking about how he was disappointed in all of this. And he also said at the end that he'd be talking about this more later. So I'm really interested to see if this is going to be something that he talks about after the final rose when Chris isn't there or what.
I feel like, yeah, we'll have to see. It's so hard not knowing who wins, because I think that'll obviously determine what he talks about. But yeah, I'm also like interested to see who will be at the after the final rose, because I feel like whoever is hosting that will be the one that like really carries that conversation along.
Yeah, I think like with all of this stuff, it's like there's like three sides to it. It's like what you can say, what you want to say, and what you have to say. And yeah. Matt James seems to be in the, I want to say something. I can't say everything because of contracts and because of the nature of, you know, everything that I signed with this show, and you can't just give away things. And I have to say something because this story has become bigger than the season. There are people, you know, what happens with The Bachelor with a story like this is when a story gets big, it becomes, you know, it's the thing that someone who doesn't watch the show goes, did you hear? You know, so like now he has to address it, but he's in this really kind of like unenviable spot of having to be political somewhat, when it's like, I'm sure this is personal. I'm sure he's hurt. I'm sure there's more he wants to say. But just like you guys said, like, we got to wait it out, you know?
Yeah, I agree with Jared. I think like it's going to be an after the final rose like no other. I guess we'll find out in due time.
I'm also kind of surprised at how long it took him to say something, because this is a week, almost two, after Rachel Kirkconnell's and Chris Harrison. So it's like, I wonder why it took so long, but it's probably because, you know, 50 people from ABC and all these different places had to read his one statement and make sure there was nothing crazy in it.
I mean, yeah. And I think like totally like all of them have to read the statement. And like, also like, you know, Matt James has the Matt James business that he wants to make sure does well after the show. So that, and all of them do, like Chris Harris, they're all like, they're out, you know, they're out for themselves in a little piece, just like all of us are with anything that we do, you know. So he's got to make sure that like he's tiptoeing, you know, a million different things right now, it seems like.
Yeah, I feel like bachelor people are the perfect example of like sitting on a fence. And I mean, obviously, in recent years, they've tried to change that, but it's like, you know, remember in The Office that episode where like Dwight's like, I'm perfect at sitting on a fence. Like, I'll believe whatever you want me to say and believe. Like, I feel like that's kind of how everyone from the franchise is. So I don't know. We'll see how this after the final rose goes. Also, I think the women tell all is going to be amazing. But
we'll get into the women tell all because I've probably never been more excited about anything in my life. But okay, so this episode was hometowns. They start off the episode, Matt's getting grilled by the purest people alive when he meets Michelle's students. That was so cute. I can't wait to talk about that. Rachel has a bumpy date, literally. Bree's mom finally gives us the shady protective energy we've been craving. Serena brags about being from Canada over enough food to feed an entire country. And Matt can't hide his disappointment when things don't go his way, like most of us, aka me. So let's name that episode. What did you guys name this episode?
So I see what you went with, Kay. And I was like, obviously, that's an amazing name. So I like that. But anyway, mine is Roses Are Red, Serena is Blue. I wanted it to also be Roses Are Red, Matt's Balls Are Blue, but I'm going to save that for next episode.
That's good.
I had, like Rachel, Matt is falling.
Literally.
Literally. He will never say he's in love. He is just in the zone of falling. We don't know what that means. No one questions him on it. He's just falling. And falling. I think, but we'll probably get to that later. Go ahead, Kay.
So I had two different ones that I couldn't choose from. The first one, honestly, I saw this on Twitter and it has been like the funniest / fucked up joke. But get out, Nemecolin, or Bree's mom for Bachelorette. We're going to talk about Bree's mom, but God, I love Bree's mom.
Because I also was texting with Dana last night, who writes the Bachelor Breakdown during the episode, and sent her the exact screenshot that has gone viral of the scene from Get Out when they're driving to her parents' house. And I'm like, wow, they really didn't think this through when it was Rachel and Matt like in the car driving, and she kept being like, I have so many surprises for you. And it was just like,
well, the best part is that they didn't know at the time, obviously.
Yeah,
but it was really
it's a
do you think that the like the producers, like these stories come out about Rachel and they're like, is there one moment where one of them's like, oh my God, we had them driving through the woods. It's literally like it's just so, like, does any of them think that, or do you think the memers are kind of ahead of them? Do you think they ever have that moment?
There's got to be someone on that production team that once this news broke was like, oh shit, this is going to be ironic.
Yeah. Especially because like, if people are memeing about it and making those jokes, if one person has thought about it, you know other people have. Sure. So it's like, it's definitely, but I don't think they knew at the time.
People were sending it to me a lot and I was just like, yeah, I don't know what the, if this is like, just like you said, Kay, I was like, this seems fucked up. Like
it's fucked up.
Yeah. Like, I just don't know.
Yeah.
It's definitely like a level of fucked up, but also, it is like funny watching that, seeing the what's happening in reality and like having to relate it back, and it just so happens to obviously not go together because that's not what actually is happening, but all of those things coming together at one time. But okay, so we have our first date one-on-one with Michelle. We meet her parents and her students, and man, they walked into that like auditorium or whatever. And when I saw those students, I'm not really like a kids person, but I got a little emotional.
See, I am a kid person. Like I like kids for the most part, My whole thing was like me imagining as a kid going home to my parents and being like, I need you to sign this permission slip so that I can appear on The Bachelor. Because my parents would be like, what the fuck kind of school am I sending you to? Absolutely in no world are you appearing on reality television. You can tell. I love the kids were like grilling him with questions that, I mean, better interviewers than Chris Harrison, most of those children.
I know. Yeah,
they definitely didn't. Well, I mean, Matt couldn't even handle their questions.
Facts. Like, he couldn't. He could barely answer those questions, which makes me think it's like, oh God, what happens? Like, you know, when we get down to the serious stuff here in the next couple of weeks, like, what's how is he going to answer those?
I felt like it was a precursor for the rest of the episode for the way he met the parents, but. We'll talk about that as we get further along.
Yeah, it just the thing about the kids is like it's so funny to watch these little kids like again from the mouths of babes, you know, like he's like, have you kissed yet? And he's like, yeah, I don't know her middle name. Like it's just like he never really like it just like he's laughing over it and the kids are acting like are just asking such innocent, smart, like well thought out questions. And it's like, I mean, again, we can keep pushing it off, but Matt James, it's like, it kind of felt like you're like, he could have been one of the kids in the class. Like the maturity level between Michelle and him, where like Michelle's there, like, let me introduce you to my life, the kids I teach. And it's like, it was interesting just to see him in that dynamic of like, he's shrinking a little bit. And I think it's not about him personally. I don't mean that as like him as a person, but I do think like he's shrinking to the idea of like, and we're in a relationship, man. Like, you know, like, and I think also that's like 25-year-olds. Like how old's Matt James?
He's 29.
29, I think. Yeah.
29. Like the idea of like being in these casual non-relationship relationships, like, Matt's in that era. Like all of us are somewhat in that era of like, you didn't have the high school sweetheart. You just had like these like flimsy things that you could kind of like laugh your way through. And like Matt's kind of seeing like, no, Michelle's here for like, here's the classroom. You're meeting kids. Like it was just, it was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think Michelle is just too good for the whole franchise, to be honest. Like I'm like, she's like a very down to earth, kind seeming person with so much. I just feel worried for her. I'm like, don't let this world ruin you. And then even when we meet her parents, I'm like, her parents are also just like so sweet and kind and amazing.
I really love, I really loved Michelle's parents, and I stand by this. I felt this like when they first went on their first one-on-one date. I think Michelle is the perfect kind of woman for Matt. I think she's a fun. They are into the same things. We saw the bloopers at the end of the episode, you know, when they were riding that bike, when they were riding their bikes and, you know, he falls off and they had this like really pure moment where like clearly they weren't putting this in the actual episode, but you just saw their relationship. And I think, you know, Michelle's parents were very sweet about everything. And they were like, you know what, if this is who you want to be with, he's part of our family. And I really enjoyed their date. It was a very easy date for him because I think as we go, things got a little bit more difficult and then, you know, easier towards the end. So
I did have the question though with Michelle's parents when they were like, is this what happened? It's like because of what happened to you 2 years ago. What happened to her? Do we know?
Yeah, they didn't talk about it.
Well, that's a thing that kind of that happened also for Serena. And it's like, again, these are one of those topics that you're like, I hope it's not a horrible thing. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like all of us are sitting here being like, I hope Michelle didn't go through like the worst thing we can imagine. But like on the spectrum of like what it could be, like, are they just talking about a breakup? Like Serena P and her conversation, they're like, you went through a tough breakup before. And it's like, she's 23. You're going to go through tough breakups. Like I kept watching this.
She's like 22. She's not even 23, which is crazy.
Yeah, she's very, very young. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, what was these relationships? Were they horrific? And of course, like, we don't want that to happen. Or was it like you broke up with someone that you thought was going to be your boyfriend who was going to be your husband? Like, I wish we knew
more context.
To be able to, more context. Like, because, like, you know, you watch this as someone who's like, you know, if we've all been in relationships before. You're thinking of, like, are exes going to their parents being like, you really dealt with something, that Jared loser? You know, like, is that something that would get brought up? Do you ever have that thought?
I think that all the time, because, I mean, I just don't come from a family where I would be like, so that guy that I was having sex with stopped texting me back. Like, we do not, like, my dad's like, what's wrong? Nothing. Like the answer is always nothing and the same.
How was school today? Good.
Fine.
Nothing happened. Everything was fine. Yeah. I totally agree with you. Like, the idea of, like, if I went through a breakup, I'd be like, yeah, you know, live and learn. Are we dealing with, like, their college sweetheart, or are we dealing with, you know, again, context is needed, because I don't want to get into a subject that, like, I find out later, like, oh, she was, you know, it was horrible. You know, there were charges pressed. I don't know. But I'm saying, if it's not, I'm like, man, I don't want to see any of my exes on any of these shows.
No, like, because then it's like, oh, fuck, what are they going to say about me? And it's like, I don't think we broke up that bad. It's like, didn't you break up with me?
Exactly. That's what I kept thinking.
Yeah,
I do feel people on the show are just, like, a little more in touch with being able to talk about that stuff. So I guess that's why they come from families, because even, like, people from the show that I know, like, in real life, it's the same thing where I'm like, hey, what's up? How are you? Expecting, like, not much. How are you? And then, like, they'll launch into what's actually going on, and I'm like, okay, I guess we're doing this.
Not the response you ever want. Imagine you're in the Bachelor Mansion. How would you stand out from all the rest and secure that coveted rose? Maybe it's a quirky and memorable introduction or crushing it at flag football. But what about a delicious smelling perfume mist that'll make you impossible to forget? Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Their fragrances are unique, complex, and turn heads. I love the smell of Sol de Janeiro. And I'm sitting here with Cheirosa 62 perfume mist and Cheirosa 59 perfume mist. Both of them are equally great. Cheirosa 62 perfume mist is an iconic, warm, and sunny fragrance that takes you to a forever kind of summer. It's beautiful. It smells great. It takes you to a place. And then there's Cheirosa 68 perfume mist with notes of salted ocean air and luscious florals. It's all great. You know, the word delicious is correct. It makes a statement. You're going to love Sol de Janeiro. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code BETCHELOR10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com. Promo code BETCHELOR10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code BETCHELOR10.
Well, they move on to the date with Rachel, and, you know, of course she picks him up in, like, an insane car. We talked about this, blindfolded him, and then they're going, wait, hold on.
What happened?
There must be a bug above her desk.
I literally thought lava was taking over the city of L.A. Like, I had a moment. Like, I thought I was going to look up in the sky and there was going to be aliens in the sky.
I was like, fuck, she didn't hit record or something. Was it a spider or a roach?
I had to kill the shit out of a spider.
Oh, my God.
Okay, where were you? I'm really sorry and I'm sweating.
Is Nema Cullen known for classic cars or something? Is there a classic car garage? How hasn't that been a date? Like, have we done? Is there?
Well, they
Jerry Seinfeld's garage there? They did.
Remember the one where they just sat in the garage?
With Michelle. They were in like a car garage, like a classic car garage. And it was like him and Michelle. That was their first one-on-one date during the dinner.
That's
but
true,
I still
though.
Don't
why,
get it.
Why is there so many classic car dates?
Or like, yeah,
and it's like, shouldn't we be reminded of that? Like, it feels like the Bachelor producers are just really bad at this one location shoot. Like, they're used to doing the most, like, obvious thing from every place. That's why there's been so many, like, horribly, like, insensitive, like, costumes that the people wear. They're like, oh, we're in Mexico? Put on a sombrero. Like, they do that all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, because they don't have any, like, where's the creativity? Like, I should know, like, we should be getting lessons in the cars. Like, we should be hearing, these are, like, easy things to me that they just, like, keep forgetting to, like, make a part. Like, I, and again, we're talking about the hometowns. Like, usually the hometowns is like, to me, it's the most entertaining like episode of the show. And this one,
really,
I think it's the most entertaining. Like, I think the dynamic with the families, I think, like, mm-hmm. you're getting new characters, you're getting to see what supposedly is their homes, you're getting to see, like, the, you know, people. My, you know, my favorite part of the hometowns is Chris, you were kind of touching on a little bit, like, with the kids that are getting asked to sign a permission slip. None of these people have that thing, that disease in your head that says, I want to go on a reality TV show. They are pushed into it by someone that they love into mm-hmm. going on to it. So, like, I think, like, again, like, and this is kind of like blanket of the whole episode. How do they not have the parents and the family on these parts of the date with them?
Oh.
Like, I watched Michelle's family playing hoops with Matt, and you're like, this is the most entertaining part of the date. I want to see the dad, like, hurt his hip because he's going too hard at Matt in one-on-one. Like, I want to see that. Like, I want to see Rachel's family, as much as we've heard about them, and as much as they kind of got, like, you know, a little bit stripped down in this, you just didn't hear a lot from them. Like, we kind of were led to believe, like, Rachel's parents are here. Like, the producers are playing off of this a little
that
bit.
Edit
the commercials.
That edit definitely happened real recently. I feel like that they must have really tightened up that one.
Totally. And it's like, I want to see Rachel's parents on the skydiving date. Like, you know, like, I think that would have made this more interesting, because we don't even get, like, here's my hometown. Like, I do, like, the fun of these episodes, these hometowns, is going to, like, you know, Des Moines, Iowa, and being like, this is where I grew up. Here's the swing set I swung
and the
on. You know?
And there's, like, the parade because they're in town and stuff. I agree. Also, to
there's
piggyback
just no creativity at Nemecolon.
On the skydiving one, her mom's even like, what do you mean you went skydiving? I would have loved to go skydiving. And Rachel's like, yeah, haha. And she's like, Rachel, I was here.
Yeah.
Like I could have gone. Like, I could have been there. I was waiting for you all day in this hotel room.
I do. No,
I agree.
I really do miss when they go. Actually, I mean, obviously they can't because of COVID, but, like, I miss seeing their actual houses. Because even the old seasons, mm-hmm. they would be like, there was one and the guy lived in, like, a studio apartment in the city.
That was
like, yes.
The epitome of just a shitty, like, apartment, and she was like, you sleep on the couch.
Side note about that, I think that is such a, like, I'm getting off on a tangent, but I think I would love to see people's apartments before going out with them from now on.
Absolutely. Like, give us a video tour of their apartment. Hey, we're gonna do hometowns, and part of hometowns is gonna see how they left their apartment before they left. Like,
yeah,
this is like I just can't believe, like, I know, like, a lot of this season has been about, you know, the extracurricular things of The Bachelor that have been, you know, but, like, where's the fun on this show? We're stuck on Nemecolon. Let's figure it out. Like, let's learn about the classic cars. Let's see the family do some awkward dates. Like, the only fun date they really had was that one where they dressed up as squirrels and they did a fall relay race. Like, that was, like, the only amount of fun that we really even got to have this season.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just, and maybe I'm speaking from the perspective of, like, how I like making fun of the show. Like, I do like making fun of their hometowns. I do like making fun of a dad that's playing basketball against a young guy. Like, I, but I think, like,
again, with Ray, with Michelle's date, where we get in the blooper reel, we get to see them on bikes, and it's like, where was that? You know?
Yeah. Right. I agree.
And it's rural Pennsylvania in the fall. It's like the best place in the, like, give me a haunted house. Give me, you know, a corn maze. Give me a hayride. But instead, we get the same weird sitting in the middle of classic cars having fake food.
And then you get to, and then we get to Bree's date where she picks him up in a Jeep Wrangler, a green Jeep Wrangler.
Before we move on to Bree's date, can we talk about Rachel's crash?
Oh, yeah. She fell straight. First of all, I want to say that I was watching, obviously, with my roommates, and we saw her getting strapped into this, like, kid. And like,
I was like, wait, who is this prepubescent kid that's supposed to be landing the girl from this TV show? That was the top guy. Wouldn't you think, hey, we're gonna be skydiving on national television? Maybe you don't put the trainee. Maybe it's the guy that's been there for a while.
That was crazy because she was getting strapped into this guy who was like small, looked really young. Like, I would have been like, I don't know if this is the person I want to be with. And, you know, sure enough, when they landed, you know, Matt landed, they landed just like on their butts and he was like laying in between the man's legs.
Yeah.
But, and then Rachel comes down with this guy and you saw it happening. Like, you saw it from when they were like, you know, 20, 30 feet up. You're like, oh, this is going to be bad. And she crashed like in face hot. First.
Well, yeah. I never would have thought anything of it, but Dana texted me and she's like, oh, her legs are not lifted up again enough. She's going to crash land if her legs were a little more like invert. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? How do you know so much
about
skydiving?
Matt was sitting in like, it looked like he was like sitting in a chair when he was landing. So it looked like his legs are up and he's like this, but I don't know anything about skydiving.
Apparently Dana has gone many times and is like very good at it.
What?
Yeah, right? Who knew? But yeah, she went hard. And then even, I don't know, I saw Nick Viall tweeted like a picture of it. It was like they got hair and makeup to come before the paramedics, because even when she's talking to Matt, her hair and makeup are like flawless. So she's like, I'm bruised all over my face, but it's like flawlessly contoured.
Well, they, when she first gets up, there's grass in her hair and her hair looks like completely like disheveled, and then all of a sudden it cuts and her hair has been brushed. Her makeup's been touched up. It was like night and day. It literally was like, you know how they talk about the continuity? It like just literally, it's like she said one thing and all of a sudden she was saying another thing and her hair was completely brushed and straight and the grass is out of it and her makeup was touched up in the scene right before. It was like she was getting up and her hair was all over with grass in it.
It felt like when you've like, you ever trip on the stairs in public and like the subway stairs and then you like just get up real quick. You're like, I'm fine to strangers. It felt like that was what happened. Like, it just felt like she was embarrassed first, worried about her health second. And just like
oh, they, humiliated.
It was given no, like, and she brought it up to her mom later. And you're like, if you're bringing this up to your mom, like, maybe there should have been more time spent on you. Like,
I bet.
Hey, sit down, chill.
Yeah.
I bet you're right. I bet she really was hurting. Cause like, that is something I've like knocked the wind out of myself and I'm like, I'm good. Fine.
You just don't want to be embarrassed. So you just like get right up, the adrenaline of like, I'm not going to fuck up this moment. Like, she's on a date with maybe her future husband and on TV. She falls face first from the sky. She's like, no, I'm good. Give me the makeup. You know, like, I think this is like a little bit like, it's like, I don't see like to me, like everyone was like, wow, her hair is fixed up right away. And I'm like, yeah, I think ABC, The Bachelor, gets more out of her on the ground, like a mess, than they do like switching to the next scene. I feel like she was like, no, get this all together. I can't be seen like that. Like, I would be that way. I do that with the subway. Yeah.
I once I had a stand-up show and I was walking on stage and I stepped on a shoelace, I guess, that was untied, and I literally face first from the last step to the stage onto the stage, like smashed my face into the stage. And I was like, I'm totally fine. And I got off the stage like, I can't breathe. My like bones are broken. So
wait, did you go on stage? You're like, I'm fine. So dating is weird. Like, did you acknowledge it?
I landed and then I like did like a Farrah Fawcett on the beach pose and was like, I'm fine. And then
That's hilarious. Okay, so let's move on to Bree's date. And like we were talking about before, about how there's not really a lot of creativity. She picks him up in a bright green Jeep Wrangler and they go on a picnic. And that, I mean, that was it. That was the extent of their date. There was nothing.
And like, you know, her last date with him, he rolled the ATV. Like, at least mention right. that. Like at least be like, hey, Matt, I'll drive this time. Like, there's a moment for like a cute moment, isn't there? Like, it didn't really yeah. feel like they even like she drove, which is fun. But like, you know, hey, I won't roll the car. Don't worry. Like, I don't know. It didn't even get mentioned.
It's also safe to assume Jeep is a sponsor of the show, right?
Oh, I mean, I'm sure something, you know?
Yeah.
But so then they go meet Bree's mom and her best friend and her baby sister. And I couldn't. And at first I thought Bree's mom was the best friend. I was because I know how like how okay. old she is. I was like, holy shit, is this Bree's mom? I was like, they would be exact same age.
The best friend
did look like a lot like her. Yeah.
And her name is also Bree. The best friend.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, these two girls must have been the meanest girls in school. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, these are like the two hottest girls in school. Mm-hmm. They probably could have gotten away with whatever they wanted. Obviously I love Bree. I don't think she's a mean girl by any sense of the word. But also I do want to point out that Bree's mom and Matt James are 6 years apart.
It's insane. Like,
that's why the dynamic felt so different, because from her, at least, it felt like, I'm not like one of these other moms. I know the real tea and I know like what the real shit is these days. I loved her.
She's also in the position of being both the dad and the mom. Like that, they always put the dad in the position of like, so you're dating four women at once. How are you going to love my daughter at the same? And then
right.
dads are avoidant. Dads kind of like ask that question, but never get like the next step into it of like, hey, so do you even know her middle name or anything? Like how, what, you know, give me something that you like. Bree's mom, you know, coming from like, you could feel the female perspective. You could feel the woman who's like been through some shit. You know, she had a kid at a very young age. She has a new baby now. She's like, she's had it. She doesn't need to like sit there and go and worry about being comfortable. She's like, what the hell's going on here? Let's talk about it. Let me, you know, I definitely got that vibe. Whereas the dads are just so like surface level.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think like, she's been through a lot that has been a lot harder than being on The Bachelor. So I feel like, yeah, she's definitely.
She's also hot. Here's the other thing. I was looking at her and I, you know, Kay, I know you said like make Bree's mom the Bachelorette. Like, I am all about that. Like, I mean, she just had a baby. So I mean, for someone who just had a newborn, I'm looking at her being like,
gorge,
bringing it. Like, I was like, I was like, get rid of Bree. Let's get, you know, Bree's mom involved.
Her mom is engaged though. So,
okay. Well, we can fix that.
I say make Bree's mom the new host.
Make her
Let's
the host.
Go.
Yeah, there we
I
go.
I mean, she had, one of the things that I liked about Bree's mom is that she had some really great advice. She said, another time I got emotional during this show. I don't know what's happening. But she was like, you know, worst case scenario, we're going to mend a broken heart together after this. And I was like, that is such great advice from a mom. It's not like, well, I just don't want to see you get hurt again. But it's like, sure. Hey, if it happens, I'm here for you and we can do this together.
That's how you can tell the bitch has been through some shit. Because mm-hmm. it's like, yeah. That's the same. I used to, when I would manage at the restaurants and people would be like freaking out over nothing. I'm like, the worst case scenario is someone comes in and kills us today. So like, as long as that doesn't happen, it's all good.
Yeah.
And she very much had the energy of like, this is just a show. You've known him for 6 weeks. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a little bit different. That the first three dates were very different than what we're about to go on right now with Serena. And so Serena and Matt, they first go on their date, and this date was, I think, kind of cute. You know, they had all the Canadian food, and they did like the quiz about like what certain things are called, the Canadian lingo, all that kind of stuff. I thought that was a fun date, and
at least it was something. At least it something. Had something. Like, you know, at least there was the reveal of the food. At least there was the, you know, the word thing, the map. Like, it had a little bit of movement.
Yeah, it did. And but one of the things that I noticed is I was thinking about, you know, their second one-on-one date when they went and did yoga, and how she was like, I'm not really much of a PDA kind of girl and blah, blah, blah. And I wasn't comfortable with that stuff. And then this date, she's like all over him. And I'm thinking, okay, what happened to the, I don't like PDA?
Well, I think there's a difference between tantric yoga and like being touchy like that. But she also says to her friend, like, he's way more affectionate than I'm used to. I've been trying to like meet it. So I think she was like trying. Also, she was like in more of her environment. I feel like, I don't know. I also was just like, we get it. You're from Canada and we're all stuck here in America. Like,
yeah, congrats.
I don't know. I thought the entire date, and I've been saying this, I feel like for weeks, that like Serena is not into him, and
she's not into him at all.
This date, the whole time, it was like, I'm fine. I'm like, yes, I like him. I like him. Like, it just felt very
forced.
Well, trying to convince yourself.
The conversation she had with her sister, I mean, that was all you had to hear. She's like, he's good on paper.
Yeah.
Do you love him? Well, he's right on paper. And it's like, the minute you say that is the minute that you are now calculating, you know, your life.
Pros and cons.
The pros and cons. And that's not exactly the most fun way to get into a relationship. Well, there's a lot of good to him and we could have a good life together. It's like, in the world of 20, maybe in 1952, that's something you have to say to yourself when there's like three people on your block that you could date. But in 2021, when you're going to come out of this like a gorgeous young woman with a huge following that you can go meet any guy you'd like, you don't have to put up with this.
No.
Yeah. Even because when she was like, I just don't know. I you could see in her mother and her friend's eye to be like, you do know. Like, this you is do. Knowing.
Well, I thought the most telling thing is when Matt's leaving, there you can hear it in the background. Serena's sister looks at him and goes, "Well, good luck with everything." It's like, that is what you say to someone when you're never going to see them again. Well, good Ever. Luck with that life of yours that I won't be a part of.
Yeah, you know, have a good life.
It's basically, and her family, Serena's family, like, first of all, her mom and sister, beautiful. Like, I thought, yes. Like, you know, like bringing it, the dad, like midway through, he took off his glasses. You just looked exhausted. Just looked like he was just like,
tired.
How am I going to get my daughter out of this thing? You know, like, how do I get her over the border again? We got to figure this out.
Yeah. I mean, that if I had a kid and they were like, I'm going to go meet someone again, I would definitely be the parent that was like, the fuck, you're not. Like,
you sure aren't.
Do what you need to do. You know, you want to get on here to get your career jump started, by all means. But let's not pretend like this man is going to be a member of our family after knowing him for a month.
No. Yeah. I mean, so the one thing that that I really hated about the whole like Serena and Matt date was that at the end of the end of the date, after he met her parents and everything, she brings up the fact that, you know, she's kind of questioning things and blah, blah, blah. And Matt's like, you know, that's a conversation we can have. And he was like, but just don't think about too far in the future. Think about what's happening right now. And I'm like, I don't think that's great advice, because you're trying to get, you know, find the person you're going to marry. So you kind of have to think in the future. And he's like, just think about that stuff right now. And that's something, you know, we can have that conversation. It's like, okay, well then she's telling you she wants to have this conversation, and she's telling you that she doesn't know, and she's questioning things, and she's feeling uncomfortable. And then that's how they leave it, where he ends up going home, or getting in the car and leaving.
See, I'm happy you brought this up, Kay, because I think this is like a really good place for this conversation of like, you know, the experiment with having Matt James as the bachelor, and the experiment being bringing someone as the lead of the show who's never been on the show. Like, they've never they haven't done that in years. And it's like, you kind of I think this like kind of makes it makes an argument for why you should have someone who's been on the show, because you have to have someone who's gotten close enough to maybe getting engaged. They see the finish line and they decide, do I want to get engaged or not? For this to live in any sort of reality. Like, this is Matt's first time in his life past 4 months with a girl.
Like, yeah, that's crazy. So, and he's not even 4 months in.
So that's what I'm saying. Like as you're right. I mean, it's like, but let's think of it that way. Let's say this is a year in real time, but in bachelor time, it's whatever that, you know what I mean? Like they're a year along. He's never been this far romantically with a woman. Let's just put it at that. So he's now getting a sniff of the finish line, a sniff of engagement, and you can see him backing away from it. That's why, you know, that's why a lot of these guys that go on the show, like, and also you have to play it for like a straight dude going on this show, like, 29, you know, is he up for this, like, settling down after this, you know?
And that's exactly what I was trying to say before about Michelle, is that he's not ready at all. And when he was like, if I need to move to Minnesota, like, I would, and I'm like, the fuck, you would not move to Minnesota.
Okay? He wouldn't even go there on a guy's trip.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. Saturdays are for the boys. We drove out to St. Paul. Like, it's just, I don't, and that's why I'm like, Michelle seems fun, yes, but also seems way more like ready
together
for that life to like settle down, and you know, so
this is why, like, having, like, you know, the fact that they don't have older men just generally on this show is crazy to me. And a lot is made about the women and how they're all young, but like, you look at these women, Michelle's not, you know, Michelle's a young woman. Michelle seems ready for that part of her life. All of them are speaking in more serious terms than him. Like, I can speak for myself. At 29, I was an immature idiot who, I'd be doing the same thing as Matt right now on this show. I'd be going, let's just have fun in this moment, you know?
Yeah, like, and it's like, well, last time I checked, we're on a show that you have to get married in the end, so I don't know if that's
That's kind of why I'm here. And it's like, you know, this guy, it just doesn't seem, you know, I think, like, again, like, if the men on this show were, like, 40 on second careers or, done, you know, established in their careers, I think we'd have a different type of show.
We would be having a different type of show. Well, let's skip ahead a little bit. So they're getting ready to go to the rose ceremony that night, and Matt decides to, you know, break rule number one, which we talk about every single time. Do not go and see anyone after hours, because it always ends in a breakup. And he goes to Serena's room, and she immediately, like, you can tell, she's like, fuck. She's like, not dressed. She's not ready for any of this. And
you also, like, look just like, fuck, I'm annoyed that you're here.
You're even here. And
well,
so
now I have to do this.
And now I have to do this. And so she ends up, because I think maybe in her mind, she was hoping to, like, you know, put that out there to him right after he met her parents, like being like, I don't know, like I'm a little questioning this, hoping maybe he would just send her home.
I agree.
And then and then now she's like, okay, well, I got to just do it and be done with it because I actually think he might want to keep me around because now he's here showing up, wanting to talk to me.
I felt like that after her second one-on-one last week, too, was that she didn't want to stay.
Mm-hmm. And so they have the conversation and she drops the, I just don't think you're my person. And that one hurts too.
That's like a finalized statement.
See, it's so funny that like, I thought about that last night. Kay, you're saying like that one hurts. I think a guy hears that and goes, all right, good to know. Like, I feel like if a guy said that to a woman, you're not my person, the world would stop. The light, you know, like you'd see people like turning, like it would be like one of those smash cuts to everywhere in the world. Like they're in China turning, they're in, you know, the Middle East turning, they're in California turning. Everyone's like, did he say not my person, not my person? And it's like, but that's right. I commend Serena P like for saying that. Like, that's a breakup. That's an ending. That's a just reason for ending.
Yeah.
I mean, totally. I've gotten that. And it is like, you can't go back from that. If somebody doesn't think that you're the.
That's like,
the Band-Aid rip.
Yeah. And they need a Band-Aid after they say it to me. But
so the whole joke was that everybody was on Twitter. Man, Twitter was sending me last night, guys. Everybody was on Twitter being like, that feel when you were made, like you were the contestant on your own show. Like she sent him home. Like he was like, you gonna walk me out? Like,
well, I kind of thought Matt James has been coached up appropriately by Tyler C. Like,
yeah.
Tyler C, if you look at how he exited the show, Tyler C never turned anyone down. He got dumped. He became America's hero. He's the guy that wanted to commit but never could because the girl that he wanted never went with him. Tyler C told Matt James, hey, if you get in a position to be dumped, I think you just eat that up. Because he even said it playfully. He's like, do you want to walk me? You know, like, do you want to walk me out? It's like, he knows what he's doing. That was the smartest thing Matt James did, was going, you know, playing off like the, you know, you could see him trying to like squeeze out a tear. Like, it just like, it, to me, that was like a guy who like knew, like, here's my moment to show people that, hey, me with 30 abs, I can get dumped too, right, ladies?
And it's been hurt exactly. as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, speaking of Tyler C, Matt and Tyler C are like in love with each other. They literally, I saw the post the other day where Matt had like brought Tyler a charcuterie board in bed. But like, you know, like when couples will post a picture like happy birthday to this angel, and it's like the girl has just woken up and like still clearly is in bed and had just woken up. Like that was the picture. And I was like, this is like a Valentine's Day post for Tyler and Matt James. And it just feels that Matt liked Serena because she was young and because he probably felt like it'll be fun, whatever.
It's I don't know. I was glad. I'm glad that Matt ended up getting sent home, but I'm glad that she finally ended up breaking up with him. And we get to this rose ceremony, and what I want to know is that he clearly wanted to keep her, but what I wanted to know is who he actually wanted to send home. Like, why don't you just keep
Bree?
You know, why don't you just keep the two girls? But I guess it doesn't fit with like the story. So we had to keep all three. But like, I would be pissed if I was one of those girls, if she sent herself home and then I'm like, oh, so I'm the backup.
I think Bree knew that, though, too.
Kay, you nailed it. Yeah, that I thought the same exact thing. And it's wouldn't you have to say like, hey, who was fourth before? Like, wouldn't you want to know? Like,
yeah.
And also, like, this goes back to something I say on You Up all the time, where it's like, guys love options. Like, they're like, you got three roses. You can send home one if you'd like. He's like, no, I'm gonna let everyone come to the fantasy suites. I'm going to take it one more shot. Like, of course he didn't send any of them home.
That's true.
I do think it was going to be Brie, though. And I think Brie knew that it was going to be her because she was like, yeah, I got a rose, but I'm like a little bit disappointed because it was the last one. And it just felt like, because it even felt like he was like, well, Serena's not here, guys. So Brie, come on. And I was thinking about if they do write on the roses, I'm like, is Brie looking at the rose like, why is mine whited out underneath?
That whole scene, it's just like a bad look because how do you get around? Well, I guess all three of you stay. She's gone. Like it just feels like a womp womp
type really
of
does.
Like you know, type of like we all push through. Like I don't know if like it would take. I know if I was in the position of the women, I don't know. I don't think I would be strong enough to be like, hey, you're just going to keep us all. Is that was that the plan? Were we the three before? Like, I think that's a really hard thing to like say.
Yeah. And especially when you get down to like, you know, the last couple people and it's like, was Serena the one you wanted to choose in the end? And now it's just us. Like, it's like, what if Serena was the one he was like, she's the one that I'm picking in the end and I'm just going to keep whoever I need to as we go. But she's the one I want.
It's kind of like, remember when at the end of Rachel Lindsay's season, and like, I know her and Brian are still married and whatever. So obviously things have changed since back then, but it really felt like she wanted Peter and she was just like, just please say anything that leads me to believe that eventually we'll get married. And he just kept being like, I just don't think I'm ready for marriage. And she's like, oh, but please. Just.
Right. And then everybody was gone. She already sent Eric home. And then Peter sent himself home. And then all she had was Brian. It worked out.
But it's like in the way that, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, yeah, your father asked me to marry him. And I, you know, had nothing else going on. So I did. And then 35 years later. Yeah. Like, I'm glad I did. We're like more, you know, it can work out. But it just at the time did not feel like he would have been the choice had there been other choices.
All right, let's get into these weekly categories. Let's start off with a would you rather. Chris, do you want to kick it off?
Mine is, okay, so put yourself in the shoes of last night's episode. Would you rather be the Matt in the situation, the host who gets broken up with and has to look like he loses power, or be the Serena who's been there kind of hoping to go home and then finally having to dump?
I think... speaking from an alpha female perspective, I would definitely want to be in Serena's situation because like I would want to have the control over all of it. Like I would love the feeling. Not love the feeling, but I would rather send somebody home than get sent home myself. But that's, I think, anyone.
It's so much easier to be dumped than it is to do the dumping. And I think that's kind of like Serena... like is trying to let him know, hey, you know, on the tantric yoga, goes to the home, and then he's like, so are you into this? And she's like, oh, he doesn't get it. And so now she tried to get dumped many times and then came back and was put in the position of having to do the dumping. I don't know. I just think like the position, you could even see on Matt's face, like, he's kind of like, oh, okay, you know, things are a little bit easier for me. You know, I don't have to, I'm not the bad guy. I think there's a part of that.
Yeah, I agree with Jared. I think I would be more of a Matt in the situation. I hate being that feeling of like, I don't want to do this thing and I don't know how to say it.
But you have to.
So,
especially when you hear like Michelle's family and Serena P's family be like, remember your last relationship. He never took you out on Valentine's Day, and that's haunted you to this day, if that's what happened. But, like, you know, like, I don't want to be that person that, you know, that a family's talking about, you know, 2 years from now, you know, like, so, okay. So mine is, okay, so when you say you love someone, this is a based on this episode, when you tell someone you love them and they're not in love with you, but they say they're falling for you. Or when you say you want to be in a relationship, they say they'd like to be exclusive, but not in a relationship.
Oh, that's God. That's hard. I guess I would say I would rather tell someone I'm in love with them and they tell me that they're falling for me, because mm-hmm. that sucks. But to be like, yeah, I want to be exclusive, but I don't want to be in a relationship makes me feel like, so I'm not in a relationship and I'm being an exclusive, but what the fuck are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I agree with you, Chris. I think I would rather have somebody at least like saying that they're falling in love with me. Like I know for a fact that there are feelings there than somebody being like, yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to like solidify any of this. It just feels more secure, even though it's not.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want people to know about it, but like, you're my secret boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It feels like a prelude to a breakup when you're an exclusive, but not in a relationship. It's like, oh, let me just put you on hold or put the tears on hold.
Yes.
Okay. So I know, everybody's very excited for the Women Tell All next week, but would you rather only be able to watch the Women Tell All or only be able to watch After the Final Rose? Like, you won't know who the actual winner is if you choose Women Tell All. And
I say Women Tell All. I would rather see Women Tell All. I can read about After the Final Rose and still get all that information. But reading about the Women Tell All and seeing it Impossible. Is very different.
See, I the only reason I would choose After the Final Rose instead of the Women Tell All is because we've seen these women argue already. Like, I know how they argue. I know how Victoria is going to, like, just not be reasonable. I know that, like, that, you know, the one that they called, you know, the one that said that she was an escort. What's her name?
Oh,
Brittany.
No, not Brittany.
Oh, Anna.
Anna's gonna like fall on the knife. I pretty much assume she's gonna say that she's going to counseling or something for bullying. Like, I kind of like feel like I can see the beats coming. After the Final Rose, like, I think that kind of sets up next season. Like, that sets us up for like, what's the Bachelorette gonna be? What's the what's the hosting situation going to be? How's Matt James going to respond when he can respond? Again, to go back to what we said in the beginning or what we were talking about, like, I think his statement then is going to be way more strong than it was a couple days ago.
Totally.
That's true.
Okay, top choice. We all have the same thing, so we don't
Our
have
top
to get
girl's Michelle.
Too into it, but I think we're all rooting for Michelle at this point.
Yeah,
definitely. I love Michelle. I hope it's her, but who knows?
Okay, food. So we haven't talked about food in a couple weeks because there hasn't been anything good. But poutine is like my number one favorite thing in the whole world.
You know, I've only had it like once.
I've had it way too many times. It's the best.
Isn't it's just one of like, the best. What is it? It's like
it's fries
gravy.
With cheese and gravy.
Yeah,
that's fire.
It's the most delicious thing. It no food makes more sense for its country than poutine. Like, it's cold. You've had a bunch of beers. You need something to like solidify in your stomach. It just goes
stomach. I'm sick.
it is not the best food for the next day. I watched that because that poutine. The problem I had with that poutine reveal is that is not a food that can be under a silver
you're
platter.
Right. I thought the same thing.
It was disgusting. They
like,
just
that's
had it
shitty
waiting.
Poutine.
Exactly. And we're not even Canadian, but I had a lot of Canadians messaging me being like, they were saying it was like their blueberry bagel moment with from the Bachelorette. So like, I think they're right. Like, if you're gonna make good poutine, you have to see the fries come out. You have to see the gravy get poured on. You have to see the cheese get crumbled on top and kind of start to melt. Like, we didn't get any of that. It was really a disservice to poutine.
Also, like, I'm from upstate, and we call them disco fries, and it's like a diner thing.
Kay, what did you think of the ham? You
Okay, so I just wrote down the ham just because I have never seen anything like that before. And I don't know, like, I forget what they were dipping it in and, like, what was happening with it. But what? I was just a little, I don't know.
It was a little, it was crusted in something.
It was crusted in something. It wasn't like honey-baked ham. It was like, I forget what they called it.
Well, it's Canadian bacon is ham. And it's like, the problem with Canadian bacon is like, I can't be, Canadian bacon is always going to be beaten by regular bacon.
Except for on an Egg McMuffin.
Okay, that's a different story. But the idea that you're going to even like bring up Canadian bacon, just when you bring it up on a Canada date, I'm always reminded of its hotter, older sister, bacon.
Yeah, it doesn't slap the same way personally.
It demeans the country to me.
Yes. All right, let's go to the villain of the week, which we all have the same thing for this week too. It's Matt. He's unaware. He's I don't know, just
he's just feeling very like fuckboy-y to me.
Yeah,
he's not a bad person. It's just that he's not everyone looks bad when someone's trying to love them and they're not trying to love. That's a bad look. When someone's trying to be more serious and trying to like be with you and you're kind of backing away and doing, well, I could hypothetically fall in love with you in one day if a lawyer agrees to it, you just look bad. There's no way to look good.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so the cringe Harrison. Man, I had to say, Matt getting sent home on his own show. That was, it was mainly cringy just because I don't think he was ready for it. I don't think he was aware enough to know that it was going to happen. But he handled it well, but I just couldn't get past the fact that he didn't have that conversation with her that night at her parents' house. And instead, he was like, let's put it off. And then he ended up getting dumped.
I had a very similar, just different words, was Matt's general lack of self-awareness the whole time. Because like, even when Serena, he's like, how are you feeling? Whatever. And she was like, I'm just feeling like nervous and I'm having doubts. And he's like, don't even worry about it. It'll be fine. And then in her interview, she's like, he's just like, it'll be fine. And it's like, don't you understand I'm having doubts? So yeah, same.
Yeah, I agree with you both on like, you know, on both of those. I also had Rachel's dad sipping his drink from the stirring straw. That was a look I never want to see ever again. He picked up his drink with both hands, picked up the stirring straw like a 13-year-old drinking a Shirley Temple and sipped through the stirring straw. At that moment, if I saw my dad do that, I'd go, turn off the cameras. We got to go. The family's been through enough. We have to leave. I can't have this.
My dad would have done, yes, exactly that, Jared. Like, even when we were kids, if they brought straws at a restaurant, my dad would be like, do not use straws. Straws are for women.
Well, so, no, like,
straws are for women.
No, I have the same thing in my family. My dad, he thought my dad had a theory that straws made kids spill, because what you do is when you're a young kid, you lean on the straw, so you lean over the drink. And so my whole family, when we go out, if drinks come with straws, all of us at the same time, without even noticing, take the straw out, plop it on the table.
Mine too, because straws make you gay, clearly.
But like,
I used one time. One time, and here we are.
And then you were fat Carrie Bradshaw.
But what about like with like Bloody Marys and stuff? Like drinking a Bloody Mary without a straw is barbaric.
No, you stir it and then you sip it.
Yeah. I would do the same.
You have like a red mustache. I'm sick.
I don't like Bloody Marys to begin with.
Okay, that's probably, I don't really like them either. That's probably why we both don't like them, is that we're just not using the straws.
Maybe that's why I'm always like, these are disgusting, because it's just like pepper and celery hitting my face.
All right. So who's getting your guys' rose this week? For me, I don't think any of the girls are getting it. I'm giving my rose to Bree's mom. I love her. I think she's great. She was my favorite part of the show.
I said Serena because I think it takes a lot of courage to do what she did. So like in my eyes, I was like, You pulled the plug. That was hard. For me, she won the week.
Totally agree with both of your picks. In addition, I would add all of the females that came to visit the contestants. They all looked great. All of them look put together. Usually hometowns, there's one family member that I'm making fun of their looks and I'm like giving a lot of crap to them, and I look like mean dude making fun of someone's looks. But I have to say, all the women that came to visit were camera ready, looked camera fantastic ready. In a way that I guess, you know, we've all caught up to HD is really what's happening. So I was proud of all the female members that came to visit family, because they all look great and they were fun and they were cool. So
I'm really excited for next week for the Women Tell All. So make sure you guys tune in for our episode next week. But until then, you guys, make sure you're following us on Instagram at The Bachelor, on Twitter at Bachelor Pod. I told you guys about the newsletter at the beginning. And you can follow me at K York City on any platform.
And you can find me at Fat Carrie Bradshaw.
And I'm at Jared Fried. And also, if you guys are having fun with this podcast, make it your Instagram story. Tag us. Let us know. Making it your Instagram story. If you've gotten to this point in the show, we are so appreciative if you make it your Instagram story, because that's really a non-invasive way to tell 200 of your friends. Because just like, you know, just like us judging the show, you're all judging your friends. You're judging their Instagram stories. You're looking without telling them. They're going to do the same for you. So make it your Instagram stories. Tag us. I'll send you a heart. I'm sure Kay and Chris will too.
Oh, yeah.
Retweet. All right. See you guys next week. Bye.
Betches.